Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. This is a verse from the second book of Kings, chapter 4. There are questions that Elisha the prophet asked of a wealthy woman of Shunem. She had just suffered the tragic loss of her only son, and she came hurriedly to the man of God. Her answer to his questions was, It is well. How wonderful to be able to say that. What enabled her to say that? God has lessons for us in these questions today and in her answer. Her answer shows, on the one hand, her simple faith in Jehovah. It displays her submission to his will and the sure hope that she had in his word. Ah, dear listening friend, this shines forth beautifully for us to behold and to emulate her in this way. Each of us is faced with difficult situations, and we're also faced with eternity. Let me ask my listening friend today, is it well with you? Perhaps you have everything that you need in this life. You have planned for your retirement, for your children's education. You've provided insurance in case of illness or accident, and you're well covered in case that you die. However, and you'll have to admit this, I'm sure, you put the thought of your dying as far away as possible, do you not? Ah, but listen. Let's bring that fact right back into focus. Your life here is uncertain, and you know it. Death may be but minutes away for you. And in view of this, let me ask, is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? Let me ask, what provision have you made for eternity? Now, it doesn't make one bit of difference whether you believe in eternity or not. The Word of God states very clearly that we're all going into eternity, and we have a soul that is going to live on forever, either in eternal bliss with the Savior or in eternal woe with Satan and his angels. When the Lord Jesus was here, he asked the question, and in his word he asked it of you and me today, What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now I say, he asked this question of you today, and he wishes to make you think of your eternal well-being. You may have everything here that you think you need, but how quickly those things themselves can pass away. And you can pass away from them. But God has in mind your welfare for time and eternity. He wants your well-being now as well as forever. Will you not consider this with me today in these few moments with the book? I would desire to take you to the Scriptures, first of all to the Old Testament, and see how God, in dealing with Israel, provided for them a prescription, shall we say, for their well-being. And he states time and time again in his word that he desired their well-being. He desires your well-being. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we read, Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart. Will you not do this? This very day, don't put it off. You've been putting it off long enough. Consider this fact, that Jehovah, He is God, in heaven above and upon earth beneath. There is none else. Have you ever given a serious moment's thought to the fact that Jehovah, Jesus the Savior, as the eternal Son who ever existed in eternity past, is the Creator of heaven and of earth? And he is the one who in incarnation came into this world as man to die for men whom he loved, for you whom he loves? And in him alone is there salvation. He is the Creator. He's all-powerful. He is also the Redeemer. He died and put away sin and made the way whereby it could be and will be, if you accept him, well with your soul. But there is no other way to have well-being, either now or in eternity, but apart through him. There's absolutely no salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, to be saved implies the reception of his word, obedience to his word, obedience of faith. We get this in verse 40 of this fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. He says, "Thou shalt keep therefore the statutes and commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." He's speaking to Israel. He's promising them earthly blessing. But on what ground? The same ground on which he promises you and I spiritual blessing. The ground of heeding and keeping his word. The obedience of faith is evidenced in a response to the Lord's word, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you come? If you come, you are obeying his word. Coming is believing on him. "What must I do to be saved?" the Philippian jailer asked. And the word was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And furthermore, in connection with the command of God today to you and to me, we read in Acts chapter 17, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Have you repented to him of your sinnership, that you have sinned and come short of his glory? Have you? Well, then you have obeyed his word. Peter asked, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" To obey the gospel means to believe what God has said in his word concerning his son. In the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, we read this: "Hear therefore, O Israel," and I would like to apply it as we should do, because let's remember this: when you read your Old Testament, remember what it says in the New, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And there is an application from what we read here in Deuteronomy to you and to me today. The New Testament throws light on the Old. Now, it is true that God picked up the nation of Israel and gave them promises and gave them covenants, gave them his commandments. And in condition upon their obedience to him, were that they were blessed in this land, but they did not obey. And of course, those that were blessed individually were blessed through faith, by faith. But here we have the way in which God brings well-being to souls. It's through his word. "Hear then, O sinner," let us say, "and observe and do it." Faith means putting in action. Now, what I mean by that is this: you might know something to be true. You might know that the medicine in the bottle is just what you need for your illness. But it will not do you any good unless you take it. And this is what we have here suggested. "Hear, O sinner, and observe to do." Take the medicine God offers to you. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God has milk and honey for you. Milk speaks of all the nourishment that we need, and honey of all the sweetness that we could desire. Dear friend, in God and in his beloved Son, as made known in his word, you have everything that your heart longs for, and you have everything that your soul needs. Apart from him, you have nothing. It is not well with you. But God desires to reach your heart through his word, and he says, "Hear." The prophet Isaiah says, "Hear, and thy soul shall live." Hear then, O sinner. The Lord our God is one, Jehovah. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other approach to him. Jesus, when he was here, and his name Jesus means Jehovah, the Savior, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. I repeat that scripture. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if it's to be well with your soul, you must be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, being saved is more than just simply embracing a number of facts. It is true that the gospel is set forth in the plain statement that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he arose again according to the Scriptures. And he lives in the glory. He bears the wounds of the conflict that he fought and the triumph that he won. But from the glory, he sends forth his word through the written word, the Bible that you have there. And the Spirit of God is in the world to convict you of your need, that you might turn to the Scriptures which he wishes to unfold to you, that it might be well with you. But to be saved is more than just simply embracing certain facts about the gospel. It rather has to do with receiving the person of the Christ, the subject of the gospel, and receiving him as your own personal Savior and Lord. Now, when you receive him and you realize that he is the one who died for you and rose again, and he did it because he loved you, odd is then that you can turn around and say, well, I accept him and I love him because he first loved me. Thus we read in verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Do you love him? To know him really as Savior is to love him. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema, which means a curse. Maranatha, that is, the Lord cometh. Dear listening friends, it is not enough to have just simply a nominal acquaintance with the gospel. It's not enough to be religious. You must be born again and have a divine nature imparted to you, a nature which loves the Lord Jesus. Do you love him? Can you truly say this very moment, I do love him? I don't love him as much as I should. Who does? But the more we get to know him, the more we will love him, and everyone who is saved loves him. Salvation is loving the Lord Jesus. You've been acquainted with him as your Savior. I repeat, we say with the Apostle Paul, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that? If you can actually truly say that, dear listening friend, knowing that he died for you and rose again, that you love him, then it is well with your soul. Now, the Lord says through Moses, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not simply in your head, but in your heart. This is where the work is done. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To be saved means that it is well with your soul. The woman of Shunem that we referred to begin with could say, it is well. Let me ask a question of you. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband or your wife, dear listening friend? Is it well with your children, dear parents? Listen, this dear woman could say, it is well because she had faith in Jehovah God. She showed her faith by making accommodations, opening her home. She was hospitable. She opened her home to the Lord's servant, Elisha the prophet. And when she received a blessing of a child, which was really a miracle, And then she lost that child. She never lost her faith because she knew that God did everything well. She did come in her concern to the man of God. There was grief, there was sorrow. But oh, those moments come to us. That moment's going to come to you. When sorrow like sea billows roll, how will it be with you? Will you be able to say, as this woman, it is well, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God? And then as far as her child was concerned, God raised him from the dead. I like to think of this as a picture of the children that we have that know not the Lord as Savior. They're dead in sins. Well, what happened? He was raised from the dead by personal touch with Elisha, the man of God, a type of Christ, the Savior. Elisha means the Savior. Oh, dear friend, you can trust God then for your children, for your unsaved companion, your mate, your husband, your wife. If it's well with you, how good to know the same gospel that saved you is able to save them, and God will hear your prayer. And this child that she tragically lost was restored to life by Elisha. But it was, again, not just simply through empty formalism. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, went and put his staff upon the child, and it didn't have any effect upon him, naturally. There's no power, dear friend, in the forms of Christianity, in the ritual, in the ceremony. There's absolutely none in the ordinances. What you need is personal touch with the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith in him is what will impart life to you. Have you had this? Only then will it be well with your soul. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, gives us a very, very clear illustration of one with whom it was not well. He did not heed the word of Elisha, who rejected the gift that Naaman wanted to give him for his healing. You know, God doesn't charge for salvation, dear friend. It's free. Man would like to do something for it. But Gehazi went after Naaman after he had left, and he lied. And he said that Elisha had changed his mind and that he came to take the 2 talents of silver and changes of garment that he offered. And when he came, Naaman asked the question, "Is all well?" he asked of Gehazi. And Gehazi said, "All is well." How many there are today, and I hope you're not one of them, who say, "Well, it's well with me," and yet you have never trusted Christ. You say, "Oh, yes, it's well. I'm not worrying about anything. We're all going the same." But listen, unless you've been born again, you're lost. And you're on your road to hell, it's not well with you. Oh, don't let Satan quiet you by thinking because you're religious or doing the best that you can, or you want to close your mind to all thoughts and say there's no such a thing as eternity. When you're dead, you're done for. Listen, that's the lie of the devil. You have a soul that's going to live forever. And if you are lulled to sleep now, saying it's well with you, when you have not trusted Christ, you're blinded. And unless you turn to him in repentance, you'll be blinded forever. Gehazi suffered leprosy. He was seeking the things of this life. Elisha, when he returned, knew where he had gone, and he said, "Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep?" Listen, friend, your chief concern should be for eternal things. Oh, don't let the things of this life rob you from an eternity of bliss and joy with Christ. God wants that it should be well with you. When peace like a river attendeth my way, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, can you say it is well?